Once again, it's time for our weekly catch-up with Matt Stringer, RNIB's Chief Executive. Matt, thank you very much for joining us.
Hello, Alan. My pleasure as ever.
Well, let's dive straight in, Matt. We've got some news from Moorfields. We've got budget to talk about as well and news from the BBC. But let's start with Moorfields and health.
Obvious relationship with Moorfields, and I met Peter Ridley, who's the new CEO of Moorfields, came in to visit us, and it was good to have some time with Peter and just chew over the sort of common ground for both organisations can work with it. And I think eye health, obviously, they're a hospital clearly, but eye health and all the work we've been doing on the eye care support pathway and our strong ECLO component up and down the country, you know, mirrors, I think, 8 ECLOs at Moorfields. So there's a lot of exchange of views around eye health. Again, Moorfields, you know, world leading cutting edge hospital, good for us to be connected to them and vice versa. They have a charity and we work closely with, so that's another link with Moorfields. And then maybe the other big one at the moment is their building move, where they're moving to this new building, new state-of-the-art facility on the old St. Pancras Hospital site. And you know, back a few years, we were talking with them about whether we took space there in, you know, as our London base, and that didn't materialise because we needed to move a bit quicker out of where we were in Judd Street into our new Grimaldi building, and they won't move into Oriel until, I think, in reality, 2027 before they really get up and running. But it's still relevant because clearly we're both trying to put in place the best possible accessible space for visually impaired people, you know, whether you're coming to a hospital or an office. And so we've shared a lot of examples of what we've done into their design and, you know, vice versa, really, you know, into their thinking. And that's a very sort of strong relationship we have through Tricia Smichael, who also sits as a lay governor on the Moorfields board, actually. So there's a number of ways that we, you know, really do share information and get mutually better from a really good relationship with Moorfields. So it was great to see Peter.
And more connections as well with the BBC. You've been to see Tim Davies as well. So audio description and accessibility on the agenda there.
Clearly, he's leaving and moving on, and the search is underway for the new Director General. So Tim didn't quite know when he'd quite be ending, but I think, you know, there's a search which will run into the new year, so I think he'll be around for a bit yet. But this was a meeting that we'd had in a diary for some time. I was delighted Tim was still able to make it. And I think that shows how much he welcomes the relationship with the RNIB, because he realises, you know, this is a critical point. I think the skill we bring in our team around understanding how to drive accessibility across content, you know, and across sort of broadcast media. We hosted the symposium back in September, which, you know, Connect Radio era, where we had the BBC, ITV, Channel 4, Netflix, Amazon, Google, you know, a whole host of mainstream broadcasters, tech companies, social media companies, all of whom are outputting content and all of whom want to work together on improving the accessibility of that. And audio description is one obvious way to do that. And we've done a lot with the BBC, as we've talked about many times, on making AD available for some of the big national moments like the coronation and Strictly and the World Cup and those sorts of things, you know, the Six Nations rugby this year. And I think it shows that there's more to do in driving those things. But actually the tech opportunity is to use AI, particularly as a technology, to try and be able to deliver audio description much more easily and seamlessly for programs using tech to do it, as opposed to having people doing it, and go from what is currently a minority of programs that have it to easily a majority. And there's challenges in there. AI isn't always consistent, so it can talk to a person's name in one shot, and in the next shot it will say that the man in the black coat, and it was the same person, so you've got that challenge. But there's an opportunity, I think, to start with short form content where 30 seconds, a minute, you know, you've got less chance of having a sort of continuity problem. But I think the discussion with Tim yesterday was very interesting in the sense of really seeing what we're doing there in the context of the whole sort of digital inclusion agenda. We've got ID cards coming through. We could extend that principle to, for example, BBC children's content around education, which could help open up educational opportunities by making that information more accessible very quickly. And that's suddenly a big educational resource. So it was an interesting conversation with Tim, not only to update on what we've been doing, but also to have a bit of a horizon scan about where we might jointly take it. And so that work will carry on between us, them, University of Surrey, and a variety of other partners I've mentioned. And a symposium that we hosted in September, BBC are going to host it next year.
Yeah, as someone that uses audio description, I'm always pleased to hear that you don't have to push too hard on some doors to improve what's already out there. And yeah, AI, still a little bit to go there, but it's moving rapidly. So good to know, Matt. Thank you very much. Let's finish off with the budget. We had the Chancellor's autumn statements delivered. Probably not a huge amount for blind and partially sighted people, but lots in there that affect people's day-to-day lives as well, including those with sight loss.
Clearly a budget which maintain levels of investment in sort of welfare and benefits, which will go down well with a lot of very, very deserving people who rely on that level of support. Clearly, it's excited questioning from other parts of the demographic who would see that as being a bill that's getting a bit large in the country. And that's a debate that will rumble on. But what we would see from the OLB's perspective was that there wasn't any assault on benefits or any obvious downplaying or downgrading of that. We've still got to see how things play out across other measures, putting more costs on motoring, car charges, fuel duty will go up at some point. We know from all our work on travel and transport that people do need motor vehicles, whether it's taxis, whether it's friends or relatives or carers giving lifts to eye health appointments or to actually go and hold down a job or go and pursue hobbies, particularly in rural parts of the country where there's less public transport. Those things will bite. And so, a lot of the tax measures will have a direct or indirect impact on people's feelings of personal wealth and ability to afford some of these things, which are critical for visually impaired people to move around. I think as a budget, it hit big ticket items which weren't directly our sector. As the days unfold and we do more scrutiny of it, I think we might find the odd thing. I think there's a current debate today around special educational needs budgeting and whether that money was properly put in the budget or whether it was sent health centrally and quite what that means. And that's a debate today. I can see Bridget Phillipson heavily involved in, for example, so that will still play out. We get a lot of our money from legacies, and the value of estates can be driven by property. Whether the mansion tax has any impact over time on lessening property values and lessening, the value of legacies over time, we'll need to see. Early days, but you can see how some of these decisions that were taken, it's difficult to see the immediate impact. And over time, once you see sort of behaviours emerge to engage or indeed counter some of these changes, I think they'll only become a bit clearer. So I think it's a budget we need to watch and wait a bit.
More to pick through as time goes on, as you say, Matt. Now, if you'd like to find out more about RNIB's services, or indeed perhaps you'd like to have a look at the shop as well, I'm just going to mention the Christmas sale that's on at the moment until the 5th of December, do have a look at rnib.org.uk. You can also chat to the guys on the helpline 0303 123 9999. And if you have a smart speaker, just ask it to call RNIB's helpline. Matt, time up. But once again, we'll catch up with you again next week. And thanks again for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, my pleasure, Alan. Looking forward to seeing you next week. Cheers. Thank you.